The Amplified Bible addresses these two verses and spices it up a little bit. I'll share some of the phrases from the Amplified. Jesus is saying to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, disregard himself, lose sight of himself, forget himself and his own interests. Boy, that's a tall order. There's a price we have to pay to step into that. To disregard yourself, to lose sight of yourself, to forget yourself and your own self-interest. The next verse in the Amplified says, whoever is bent on saving his temporal life will lose it. His comfort and security, you will lose it. This is going to cost us as we step into the purpose of God for our lives. Some of our comfort and security. Oh, I'm glad we're not electing a pastor today. I'm telling you, this is something to grow with. This is a maturing word, but we must hear the word of the Lord. Jesus himself said it. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. It's not a trick question. So you can reply with a raised hand. How many of you in this room today want to follow after Christ? All right, then we have a clear formula right here from the man himself, the Son of God. He said, if anyone wants to follow after me, deny yourself, your self-interest. Take up your cross. Be willing to sacrifice a little comfort and even security if necessary. And then, he said, you can follow me. Now that will rattle your cage. Even several hundred years ago, our forefathers in Europe thought there may be a better world. So they risked their comfort and security. They put their lives on the line. They said goodbye to family that they knew they would never, ever, ever, ever see again in their lifetime. And they got on a boat and they headed out, not knowing where, not knowing if the world was flat, as they had been taught in school, that they would go so far and then fall off, or if in fact there was a better world out there. But even they, centuries ago, realized that if you want to discover the new world, you must be willing to lose sight of the shore. You've got to lose your life for his sake if you want to find his life. And I've done that a few times in my life. You don't do it often. I think everybody does it at least once. And for some people, maybe more than once. There was a time when I was 30. I had worked in the same organization for 12 years. I was comfortable and secure living in Los Angeles, and I loved it. But I walked away from that life because of God's kingdom purpose on my life and moved from California to Florence, South Carolina to start this church. And this church today is a great church after 28 years, not because I'm still here, but because you are. But I had to walk away from a wonderful life, and I was comfortable, and I was secure. In the natural, I would have liked to stay there forever because it was sweet and easy, and I loved every minute of it. But for that season, I was called there, but then the seasons in my life changed according to kingdom purpose for me, and it required that I leave that to come here. What kind of a man at age 30 with a wife and a 5-year-old daughter would give up everything comfortable and secure, his paycheck, and put everything he owns in a truck and drive all the way across the country with no job, with no church waiting for him, with no church members and nobody saying, come please start a church? I didn't know where my next paycheck would come from. I don't advise that. Unless you know it fits into your kingdom purpose. And if it does, if you try to hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you will be willing to lose that old life, you will find a better one. I've never regretted losing my life. I've always found a better one. Hasn't happened that often for me. It happened again when our church was 7 years old, and for 1 year, my family and I moved to Latvia and started a church there. How strange it was. All of my pastor friends still, I just got back from a pastor's conference 2-3 weeks ago, and still they can't believe that any pastor in his right mind would leave his church for 1 year and move to the other side of the world and then come back to that church after a year. None of them had ever done it, and that's okay. It wasn't the purpose of God for their life. It was for me, and I'm not the hero in that. You are. I couldn't have gone if you had not sent me and received me when we got back after a year. But I gave up comfort and security here and moved there for a year. I've never regretted losing my life. I've always found a better one. And you're going to, each one of us, have to sacrifice some comfort and perhaps some security if we're going to enjoy the presence of God we have with us always and step into the kingdom purpose God has for each of our lives. Now, some people lose their good life. Some people lose their great life, not for the kingdom purpose, but for the wrong reason. Some people make choices and they want something so badly that they should not have. They're willing to risk the good life God has given them for the wrong thing. And we don't want to do that. I heard a preacher say one time, you see what you want, you think you may want it. And he said this, you can get what you want, but you will lose what you got. We don't want to make the wrong choice. We want to make choices that serve the kingdom purpose of God. Now, everybody in here struggles in life, probably in present day. You're struggling in some area of your life. None of us are perfect. But I'll tell you today, there are two reasons. Only two. Two reasons why you are where you are in life today. The first reason is because of circumstances beyond your control. Things that have happened in your life you could do nothing about. You just had to accept. The second reason you are where you are in your life today is consequences of the choices you've made. Things that could have been different if you had made better choices. But now, regardless of how you have arrived at the place where you are today, whether it's by circumstances beyond your control or you're where you are as a consequence of choices you have made, both categories bring frustrations. Isn't that the worst part of life some days is just dealing with frustrations. Things that you cannot change. Circumstances that just happened to fall your lot in life, or even frustrations over consequences from decisions and choices I've made. Frustrations. I know what it is to be frustrated. I think I'm bipolar and just never have been diagnosed. I'm afraid to go ask the doctor. Doctor, do you think I may have ADD or... Definitely ADD. See, I've just been diagnosed right here. One of the greatest television shows, they say, that's ever been on was Seinfeld. Any Seinfeld fans in the house? I tell you, I love the way George Costanza's father dealt with frustrations when something came up in his life that he just could not do anything about it, and he wanted to change it so much, he had a solution, and it might work for us. You may remember this clip from Seinfeld.
I got no leg room back here. Move your seat forward.
It's as far as it goes.
There's a mechanism. You just pull it and throw your body weight.
I pulled it. It doesn't go.
If you want the leg room, say you want the leg room. Don't blame the mechanism.
All right, Dad, we're 5 blocks from the house. Sit sideways.
Like an animal. Because of her, I have to sit here like an animal. Serenity now! Serenity now!
What is that?
Doctor gave me a relaxation cassette. When my blood pressure gets too high, the man on the tape tells me to say, Serenity now!
Are you supposed to yell it?
The man on the tape wasn't specific.
What happened to the screen door? It blew off again?
I told you to fix that thing.
Serenity now!
Have you ever wanted to just scream, Serenity now? When things are frustrating and something in your life is tilt and you haven't found your rhythm and the routine of your kingdom purpose, and even the smallest little thing will put you on edge. Oh, I'm going to start doing that right now. Just Serenity now. It's a good confession either way. Can't hurt. Some things we can't change. We just have to accept circumstances that are beyond our control. That was the case yesterday in a very real way. For a year, organizers had been well prepared for the annual Pecan Festival in Florence, you know. And it's been known to bring 50,000 people downtown Florence. It was an all-day event. Some of you may have been there. Some of you may have been vendors there. And after a year of planning for 50,000 people to invade downtown Florence with concerts and everything outdoors, the average white band. Do you like the average white band? I didn't like the average white band until I saw their picture and they have 2 black fellas in it. So I'm all right with the average. Their band is a misnomer. They got 2 black boys, so you know they can make some music then. But they were there, and they're a big deal, and so many other things. But then we woke up yesterday morning with that great outdoor event planned, an annual big deal in our city, and November the 1st it was, but with the wind from some cold place blowing through here, 2030, it felt more like Blovember. And then lo and behold, on November 1st, parts of South Carolina had snow. So it was Snowvember and pouring rain all day that dampened the outdoor event. But Serenity now. There's nothing you can do about it. The mayor couldn't stop the rain. The governor couldn't stop the rain. Nobody could. It's something that happened beyond our control. I'm easy to get frustrated. My fuse, sometimes, my wife's laughing. She'll know it's true. But it seems that anytime there is a threat of terrorist attack, like 9/11, I'm in the air, or either at the airport, as we were on 9/11. And then since 9/11, a few years later, you may remember there was one day when the airport shut down for a few hours because They had foiled a plot where they had discovered some men were going to bring liquids on planes, and the liquids could be combined and cause an explosion midair. And so our grandson had just been born in Austin, Texas. We left Nanny there, and Tiffany and I, after a few days there, got on a plane to come back home. And all this happened the day Tiffany and I were flying home. And so the bottom line, we found ourselves stranded in the Atlanta airport for 24 hours. As soon as we land in Atlanta, and the breaking news is, oh, they're shutting down all flights for now, and we missed our connection back home, and so we're stuck. And so I'm scurrying and dragging Tiffany along with me. I said, okay. All right, we missed our flight. Okay, let's go to the airline desk and let's book the next flight leaving. So we rush over there and wait through a line, and only to be told, I'm sorry, it's full. And we don't even know when that one's going to take off. Long list. Serenity now. So then I'm thinking, let's go rent a car. We'll drive from Atlanta to Florence. And so we scurried over to the car rental place, and every car had been rented. Somebody had beat us there. I mean, it was an emergency for everybody. And so not a single car left to rent at the Atlanta airport. So then I think, well, we'll have to spend a night. We'll get a hotel room. And so no hotel rooms left in Atlanta that night. It was a problem. And so I finally reached a point. Oh, and this is another thing that frustrated me. I finally wait until we get in line to another airline kiosk, and I'm asking, okay, if you were me, what would you do? I mean, I can't get a flight out tonight. You can't rent a car. Can't stay in a hotel room. If you were me, what would you do? And she said, honestly, I would go to the gate of this flight that we do have you scheduled on tomorrow afternoon. I would go onto the gate and I'd just camp out there until then. I said, okay, I'm going to do that then. And she gives us a little packet, and she said, as a courtesy, the airline would like to, because we hate you're having this problem, but we're here's some toothpaste and toothbrush and a little overnight kit, you know, as a courtesy from the airline. I said, well, thank you so much. I was nice. So Tiffany and I get our courtesy toothbrush, toothpaste, and the little kit. And she said, go get in that line right there and check security and go on back. I said, okay. So we go wait in this line all the way. And as soon as we get there, they said, what you got? I said, it's toothpaste. And throw it away. Put it right there. I said, I'm sure you're mistaken. Because, see that lady over there at that desk? She just gave that to us as a complimentary. We've got to stay here overnight. And I mean, we just got, well, at this point, you can't take it back. Throw it right there in that can. If I had only known. Serenity now! Circumstances beyond our control. AA is famous for this prayer, even though they didn't originate it. It was before their time. They adjusted it and have made it famous. You probably have heard the serenity prayer. It goes like this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, when it comes to discovering God's purpose for our lives, we need those three ingredients: serenity and courage and wisdom. Jesus tells a parable of a man who found a treasure in the field. And you know it, it's just one verse long, but it goes like this. Jesus said there was a man who was working in another man's field. He didn't even own the field. He was a common laborer. Probably the rhythm of his life was like many of ours. We get up every day and we do what we do, and there's a routine to it, and if we're not careful, there's a dullness because we don't sense any purpose to it. It's just another day, same old, same old. We're stuck in a dead-end feeling, a rut, if you will. We're not able to see the big picture of God's purpose for our life. Now, if God has a purpose for your life, and He does, that means He also has a purpose for every day of your life. How can you live your entire life and not satisfy the purpose of God? I'll tell you how. One day at a time, and even 1 hour at a time. So this man was working another man's field. It was menial labor, probably minimum wage. He'd get up every day and go and work in another man's field. We don't know how long. It could have gone on for years until one day something in that field changed his life. He stumbled upon a treasure. He discovered a treasure. And he thought quickly, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get this. I have discovered something I've never found before. And the Bible says he went and sold everything he had. Talk about losing your life. He lost his life. He was able to walk away from everything he had worked for his entire life up to that point so that he could possess this one treasure here. And I find it interesting. That man had worked in that field who knows how long. He probably knew every square inch of that field. He had worked it. That was the way he had made his living. He had gotten good at it. He could probably tell you every fire ant hill in that field. He could probably tell you where the tree stumps were, where huge trees used to be, and they removed it all except left a stump. He could probably tell you where the roots were that were sticking above the ground barely. He knew that field. But even though he had worked in that field and he knew it very well, he discovered something that had been there all along. And he immediately recognized the value in it and he said, I'm going to do what I got to do for this. I'm going to sell everything I got so I can possess this. I believe the treasure he found with it was his kingdom purpose. There are two most important days in your life. Two. Now, I've had some important days, so have you. The day I got married was an important day, but that's not one of the top two. Sorry, sweetheart, I'll make it up to you after a while. God. She knows what that meant. I've had two children. And the day my children were born, important days, but not the two most important days. There are two most important days in your life. The first, the day you are born again. And the day you find out why. Kingdom purpose. You can be born again in the field. And the harvest field is the world, Jesus said. You can be born of the Spirit. Know the Lord. Your ticket to heaven is secure. And still just be in the field. Just be in the world. Until that second most important day when you discover the treasure that was there all along. You just hadn't discovered it yet. The day you were born again and the day you find out why. God wants both of those days to mark each of our lives. Two most important days. The first requires a decision. A decision. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender your life to Him. Stop managing your own life. But let the Holy Spirit now become CEO, chairman of the board, your partner in life, managing every detail of your life. a decision. The first most important day, the day you are born again, requires a decision. The second most important day, the day you find out why, doesn't require a decision. It requires a discovery. A decision and a discovery. Those are the two most important days of your life. Joel, 3rd chapter in verse 14, talks about the first one prophetically. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now we're going to shift gears and end quickly. It gets tougher on the way out. I'm going to dismiss you in a minute on a dime and run for the door. I understand. You'll have to go quick to beat me out the parking lot today. Well, but I didn't get my fix. Get your own fix. It's not about coming in here for an hour and getting your fix. That'll last you for a week. That's not in my notes. Talking about losing your life to find your kingdom purpose. Being able to give up everything you have if necessary just so you can have this one thing, and that's your kingdom purpose. And here's an unpopular gospel, but it's the truth still. There is a cost to following Christ. And it's getting ready to go up, probably. There is a cost. In Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 19, then a certain scribe came and said to Jesus, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Can we say that out loud? I know it's your heart. Say it with me. "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Say it again like you mean it. "Teacher, And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Let me first go." Me first. Me first. Me first. Now, if any excuse could be justified, that one certainly could be. Go and bury his father. And historians say that his father had not died yet, but his father was getting on in age, and this follower of the Lord was saying, "Let me go and take care of my dad until he dies, and then I'll sign up and follow you wherever you go. But let me first." And then Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Now that sounds hard and cold. And we know that doesn't fit the character of our compassionate Lord. But I think he said it at this point in this context so that we would get the picture. It is costly to follow Jesus. Me first. How hard it is. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, lose your own self-interest. Be willing to sacrifice some comfort and security. That's your cross. Take it up every day. Forget yourself and follow me. There is a cost. Me first or me last. That's the decision. Many people say they want to follow Christ, and they still spend much of their time serving the flesh instead of serving the Spirit. I told you this is one to grow with. Nobody needs to leave without feeling some growing pains here, including me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, Paul writes and says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me. Let's leave that right there just a minute. We'll finish in just a minute. But Paul says, according to the grace of God. Now, I have heard some things about God's grace lately. It's absolutely amazing, astonishing, almost unbelievable. God's grace. I like everything I've heard about it. I'm not blasting the grace message. It's all by God's grace. God's grace given to me means this. God is not going to punish me for my sin. Why? Because in His grace, He sent His Son Jesus to take the punishment for my sin. Now that doesn't eliminate the law of gravity. If I jump off, I'm going to fall down. And it doesn't eliminate the law of sowing and reaping. I'm going to deal with consequences to my choices. But so far as my sin debt, God's grace means I don't have to pay it. God's grace allowed Jesus to pay that for me and for you. But a part of the grace message, if we're not careful, if we don't handle it responsibly, it is so good, it's so good, it's so good. But some people who are immature on the message of grace misunderstand it. And they behave as if how we live our life after we're born again doesn't really matter because we're going to heaven now anyway, and we don't have to pay for anything. Jesus paid it all, and thank God for that. And so we don't even have to be faithful. We don't even have to establish a good testimony. We don't have to be an effective witness. We don't have to do, we don't have to do, we don't have to do because of God's grace. Listen to what the word says. It is a maturing word. If we hear it, we will handle God's grace responsibly. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, best case scenario, gold and silver and precious stones, or, worst case scenario, wood, hay, and straw. Each one's work will become clear. Now, this age of grace and the wonder of God's grace and our being beneficiaries of God's amazing grace does not take away the responsibility we have to work. Each one's work will become clear for the day. Joel prophesied about it. Multitudes in the valley of decision, but the day of the Lord is near. Here in the New Testament, it's a capital D, the day of the Lord. It's the day of His return, His appearing. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. So the Apostle Paul gives us a context here of our purpose to be fruitful and to bear good works, the kind that will last until the day of the Lord and bring us a reward, not the kind that will be burned up when it's tested by fire and will give us no reward. I'm talking responsibility here in God's purpose. Now look, faithfulness is important. We can't ever step into God's purpose without having a rhythm of life of faithfulness. And the enemy will attempt to stop your good works. And if he cannot stop your good works, he will try to change your motive. And either way, if he does either one, he's stolen your reward. I'm going to close with this. Denying yourself. That's a hard word. But if you're ever going to step into your purpose, you've got to work with this. Now, we enjoyed the presence, and we always will. Going forward, we'll never be without the presence of God. Not a day in your life, wherever you go. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, not even to the end of the world. So we have his presence, and we need his purpose for our life. How do we find it? How do we really follow him? Deny yourself, take up your cross, then follow Jesus. Not because it should be a duty, but because it should be a desire. Stand up. Medicine doesn't always taste good. If we can fit into this, work with this, we'll become more fruitful in the kingdom. Bow your heads, please. Father, thank you for the honor we have of getting together like this on your day. Thank you for the window of opportunity we have collectively, each of us hearing you say the same thing. Thank you for leading us to this place and for your promise that you will not leave us here, but you will continue to take us into your purpose. Each individual person here has a purpose that fits into your kingdom plan. We press into that this month. We press into the kingdom purpose you have for us. And I speak over the lives of men and women here, and I pull purpose out of them. I pull them up from where they are into a higher place of kingdom purpose. Thank you that we can reach a place where our service to you, not a duty. It's a pleasure. It's a desire, because we've lost all self-interest so that we might follow you fully. And I speak blessing over the lives of your people today. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Amen. And just before we walk out the door, we pray and declare out loud our benediction. We've been doing this for a few weeks. Read it out loud with me as a declaration, and read it like you really mean it. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.